everybody. Martin Zender still broadcasting from my South Florida bunker here in South Florida, where the palm trees sway and the sky is blue, heading back to Pennsylvania. And presumably the gray skies, cold temperatures and everything. But you know what? I decided, as I told you before, I'm not on this planet to enjoy the weather. I'm here to teach the evangel. And I've been doing that here. God has opened up many opportunities, and many people have come here to seek the word of God, and they've not left disappointed. So I praise God for that. Praise God for the people he's brought here. I just do praise him for everyone who has an interest in things of consequence, because I'm teaching this everywhere. The world at large, they're just heading toward destruction like lemmings, and it's not their fault. No, God has not illuminated them, and the spirit of the world, the spirit of Satan, is very powerful, very strong, very seductive. Not only the worldly things, but the religious things are just as seductive, and both things lead to aeonian destruction. We are calling people to aeonian life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and we're giving out the word of God in as pure a form as we can, getting rid of all the extra fat and crap that's not needed, putting forth a pure word. And when people hear that pure word, they respond to it. Put that pure word out today at lunch. It was so interesting. Regina brought home a friend from lunch, and we were talking about these things. It just so happened to come up. I was sitting there working on my blog. Some of my books were laying around, and you know, the pure word of God has power. The gospel itself is God's power for salvation. And in fact, this woman and her husband are going to be coming over here tonight for dinner, so that's exciting. And we're going to talk about these things. So thank God for those upon whom God's Spirit does rest and come. And we are special. Don't forget that. God is the Savior of all mankind, 1 Timothy 4:10, especially of believers. Don't feel bad that you're special. Yes, eventually everybody's going to come, but not everybody is special. God loves certain people. Well, let me put it this way. God loves everyone, but he favors certain people now. And I was telling this woman at lunch here at Waylon and Regina's house, you know, God chose all of Israel, right? Sure he did. That's Israel is his special people. So they're special. But within that specialness, what does he do? He calls out 12. He calls out the disciples out of all of Israel to rule and reign with him on this earth during the millennium. Now, even within those 12, he calls three who are special among the special among the special. And those three are Peter, James, and John. And yet, even of those three, John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. So we have the special among the special among the special among the special. God favors certain people, and it's of no credit to them that he favors them. It's just the way he operates. It delights him in accord with his delight. I love this in Ephesians. In accord with his delight. He calls us in accord with his delight. We keep wondering, and this woman asked this today at lunch, why me? Why am I special? And she felt bad that she was special, almost. Well, because it pleases God. You're special because he chose you. You're not special because you're special. You're special because he loves to make people special. It's his desire. You know, I say this in The First Idiot in Heaven. I do love this sentence. Let God have his day. Let him have his fun. It's fun for him to call unworthy people. As soon as you start thinking that he calls people based on worthiness, well, you're wrong at that point. God calls people because it delights him to lavish unworthy people with grace. It's so fun to give something. Like on the street, you see somebody down it out and you give them $100. Or you feed someone. Waylon talked about giving this person food, giving this person lunch, buying someone a wonderful meal at a great restaurant. You know, somebody who's out on the street, just taking them into a fancy restaurant and giving them a really top-notch meal. That feels good. Well, multiply that times 1,000. That's how God feels when he grants us grace. So to question it is to question his pleasure and his fun. It's about his enjoyment in doing this for us. I should take you to that passage. I am going to go to 2 Timothy more about the soldier today. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials, everyone in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. Well, if it was before the disruption, it sure was before we had done anything good or bad. We, to be holy and flawless in his sight. Look at all these things he does for us. In love, designating us beforehand. He loved us beforehand, even before we existed. For the place of a son, for him. This is for him. For the place of a son, for him. That's verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. Through Christ Jesus, in accord with the delight of his will. That's the word I'm getting at. Delight, the definition there is a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment. This is a delight of his will. Let him have his fun. Quit feeling unworthy. I thought we got past that already. You are unworthy. There's nothing in you that invited, brought about, or continues this call. You didn't start it. You're not going to finish it. Let him have his fun. This is for the laud of the glory of his grace, which graces us in the beloved. For the laud of the glory of his grace. The laud of the glory. Verse 6, he's going to be lauded. And he is now lauded among the celestials for what he is doing through the ecclesia. The multifarious wisdom of God is being demonstrated now in the celestials through the ecclesia. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3. Why? Because they're witnessing something of God's grace in the manner of the people he chooses. The people he chooses are unworthy. And so when the celestials see this, they're stunned at the graciousness of God. That can only happen by him choosing unworthies. And this is known as the laud of the glory of his grace. What laud? The laud of all creation. And it's the glory going to God for his grace. Grace is favor bestowed upon those who deserve the opposite. If anybody deserves it, it's not grace, and he doesn't get the laud. And when he doesn't get the laud, he gets sad. He's sad. Why are you taking away the laud of my glory? And now we're supposed to say, oh, we're so unworthy. Guess what? It's not about you. So stop feeling unworthy. It's not about you to feel proud. Some people go the opposite way. They feel all proud. It's not about you. Some people go the opposite way, and, well, I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. It's all about him, not about you. Let him have his day. So, now that I have only about 4 minutes left, we're going to go to 2 Timothy. I'm going to tell you about what sent me off on this amazing journey back in 1993. It was this soldier thing. I really identified with this, even though I've never been in the military, never been any kind of combat of any kind. I hate guns. I hate violence of all kinds. I'm a very peaceful person. I am. I really am. No, seriously, stop that. I'm a very peaceful, loving person. I don't like conflict. I just find myself located for the conflict, as we spoke earlier of. We are located for these trials. I've been put here for this. I don't like it. You think it's hard being a burr under somebody's saddle? Try being the burr. It's no fun for the burr or the guy on the saddle. It's no fun for anybody. Suffer evil with me. 2 Timothy 2, 3. Let's read this in context to find these three things. We're talking about the soldier, talking about the athlete, and the farmer. Going to take the whole context here. Should have done this a couple days ago. Chapter 2. Verse 3, suffer evil with me as an ideal soldier of Christ Jesus. No one who is warring is involved in the business of a livelihood, that he should be pleasing the one who enlists him. Verse 5, now if anyone should be competing in the games also, here's the second analogy, the athlete, he is not given a wreath, if ever he should not be competing lawfully. Here's the third analogy in verse 6, the toiling farmer must be first to partake of the fruits. Verse 7, apprehend what I say, for the Lord will be giving you understanding in it all. Paul is telling Timothy this because Timothy, like Demas and like others like him who love the current aeon, they're thinking of, you know, getting some more lucrative form of employment here. Paul's gig doesn't sound too attractive to people who are drawn to the baubles of the world. But Paul is saying that God is going to take care of you. And this is what really I focused on this in 1993, October, when I was even starting to contemplate. That was the summer of 93, when I was even starting to contemplate doing this full time. Is God going to support me? How does this work? Here it is. This is what sent me off. No one who is warring is involved in the business of a livelihood, that he should be pleasing the one who enlists him. And I knew my enlister was Christ. And I thought of the analogy, warring. Nobody who is in the war in the army today, the army, Marines, Navy, nobody, the Air Force, you don't supply your own rations. You don't go to the grocery store. They supply everything. You're fighting in the war. You're in the trench. You're in the field. If you have to look at your watch and say, oh, we got to go find dinner now, you're not going to be pleasing your enlister, because you need to concentrate on the business at hand, which is, in the case of the literal soldier, finding out where the enemy is, sabotaging the enemy, taking care of the enemy, defending your homeland. These things are important to the soldier, and so the army, wanting the soldier to be able to concentrate on those things, will supply the food, will supply a place to sleep. All the physical needs are met by the U.S. Army, or the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, whatever. So it's nothing less in the service of God's army. And so I looked at this and I took it literally. No one who is warring is involved in the business of a livelihood. That word involved, I broke that down in the Greek. It's the Greek word empleko. The elements are in braid, to be involved, to braid yourself, like to be, you know, overlapped like a braid, in and out and in and out. You're tightly woven with the business of a livelihood. Now, I'm not concerned with that, because I'm serving my enlister and God has honored it. It has been a miracle every month since October the 1st, 1993. People's always asking me, Martin, how do you make it? I make it because God has called me to do this. I felt this call in my life. I wanted to study about God full time, and I wanted to write about him and share this truth with others that I saw. And I'll never forget, God spoke to my heart, said, this is a worthy occupation. This is worthy that you want to do this. You know, like Solomon asking for wisdom. This is a good thing you've asked for. And God has put it on your hearts to help me continue to do this, to bring the message and to make it available free to many, many, many hundreds of people. Yes, I sell books. I haven't made $1 from any of my books in 5 or 6 years. I don't make any money from books. I'm serious. You think I'm a rich writer or something? An author? I am an author, but I'm not a rich one. I make no money from my books. Everything I make is from gifts from you, because God puts it on your heart to help keep me doing what I do, both to feed you, to give you the truth, to bring you the wisdom, glory, and the grace of God, and to bring it to others who cannot afford it. And this I do freely. I give away so many books, it's really hard to call Stark and Hartman a business. We're more of a ministry. I've given out hundreds and hundreds of books. I'm giving them out on this trip, and I thank you for allowing me to do that. So yes, there is evil to be suffered with that. It's not a regular, steady income. It can be harrowing. It has been harrowing at times over the years. I've almost quit this job more than once, probably 3 times seriously, because of how scary it is income-wise. But God has always been faithful, and I will give him credit for that. He has supported me through you, through the members of the body of Christ. And anybody who wants to contribute to this ministry, I've never said no. I've never stopped them. I don't require contributions, but I've never turned one down. Anybody who wants to help this work can go to martinzender.com, and there's a little thing you can click on there, something about support the ministry. I don't know. I don't even see it very much. It's support the ministry. It's right on the top of my homepage. Like I say, I can't do this unless you help me, and many, many of you have, and I thank God for it. More on 2 Timothy tomorrow. I'm in South Florida for another day. Thanks to Waylon and Regina Dabbs for allowing me to use their computer room here as a Zender studio during my time here teaching. Thank you all. God bless you.